Yeah. Okay. Technically, there's like, wait a minute, but be all right.
Before shutting the door?
Yeah.
Right. Public portion.
Just in case.
Yes.
Anyone wants to come in. And...
Thank you. That's it. Okay.
You ready to go?
Yeah.
We're recording.
Well, here we are live. Okay. We're going to hear a presentation by the Beck. What do we call it? Beck Parker. Yeah. There's more than one, right?
There it is.
We'd like to hear your presentation.
Before we get to that, on the agenda, just if we can go down the steps there just real quick. Number one, you just did that.
Call to order. Changes to the agenda, there have been none.
There are none.
Public comment, there's nobody here.
See, no public.
Do we need to read the statute into the record?
No, I think it's on the agenda. I think we're
going to recess the public portion of the meeting and get right into the...
Now you can close the door.
Now I can close the door. Thank you, sir.
Just for the recording, yeah. For the record.
There we go.
And now you're on.
Yes.
Fantastic. Thank you for having me. My name is Justin Beck, and I am the CEO at Beck Partners. We are a commercial real estate services firm, and we have offices in Pensacola and here in Tallahassee. I'm going to go around the table real quick and make sure that you know who everybody is. Bryce Covert is our director of property management. Donnie Keene is our senior property manager here in Tallahassee. Karen Thrower is our corporate accountant. Give me a title.
Financial controller.
And then Rachel Hayes is our property management accountant. And so what we wanted to do today is just give you, I want to give you a quick overview of our company. And then, you know, obviously you have a proposal, so we can answer any questions that you may have there. We have all of our resources. We should be able to answer whatever questions or concerns or anything that interests you, we should be able to handle. So, you know, it's pretty interesting when I looked at, when we looked at, you know, Innovation Park's reason for being a mission statement, and very similar to ours. You know, we're very interested in creating innovative partnerships about growing our community, not just being real estate brokers or property managers, and but really creating vibrant community of entrepreneurs and small businesses. You know, we work with some of the large people, Gulf Power, Pan Am Federal Credit Union, Navy Federal Credit Union. We work with all of those companies, but it's really the small businesses and the entrepreneurs that get us fired up and interested in coming to work each day. So I thought that was really interesting. So we're excited about the opportunity, excited to be able to come back and give you another proposal. You know, I would be lying if I said that we weren't disappointed last time, but we understand Talcor is a great company. We got a lot of respect for Ed Murray. So, quick history on Beck Partners. We started out as Beck Property Company about 34 years ago. It was a company that my father founded. And 3.5 years ago, I acquired the interest of this of the company. And then we did a merger with an insurance company, McGraw Insurance. So now Beck Partners is myself, Reed Rushing and Christine Rushing. They work on the insurance side, and I run the company as a whole. We've been very fortunate to grow a tremendous amount over that 3.5 years. When we did the merger, I think we had about 10 people. Right now we have 40 in the organization. We manage nearly 3 million square feet. We're the only accredited management organization from the Institute of Real Estate Management in Northwest Florida. We're very proud about that. Bryce led that initiative and got us that designation. And last year we were named one of the best places to work in Florida by Florida Trend. And a secret is supposed to be kept, but it's not supposed to be out again, but we won that award also. We're still on the list, thank goodness. That's a hard one. Like, there's a lot of pressure if you get named the best place to work and then don't win it again. Like, you know, so second time is really important. Bryce, that's a little bit about the overall company. Specifically here in Tallahassee, you know, 3 years ago, I think we had 2 people in the office. We managed maybe 1 or 2 buildings. Since that time, we've grown tremendously. We've got 4 brokers over here right now. We manage about 5 buildings. We actually purchased a building. We are taxpayers in every sense of the word here in Leon County in the city of Tallahassee, and very proud to do that. We just closed on a building on College just a few weeks ago. We're going to be doing a renovation on the Florida Press Center building. So we're on that now. We're going to be moving our office there because we've run out of space in Midtown on Thomasville, which is going to be a hard place to leave. It's very neighborhoods, but we're going to be moving downtown and renovating the building there, and we're excited about that opportunity. We've been able to hire some great folks from FSU's real estate department, and they're leading a lot of growth for us. So we've got a young, exciting, energetic office in Tallahassee, and this is just another opportunity for us to grow in Tallahassee because we really like this community. There's a lot of things that are really great that are going on in Tallahassee, and we're excited to be a part of it. And every time I come here, which is probably twice a month, I feel more committed to it, more excited about the things that are going on. So with that, I'll let Bryce kind of run the rest of the presentation. And
so last, was it 3 years ago, there was a lot of questions about us being headquartered in Pensacola and not in Tallahassee. How does the remote accounting work? How does all this work? So we laid it out the best we could in the proposal. So what I would like to do is just, these were the main points that we talked about last year. The payroll, do we know how to do that? The efficiency, the minimal cost of change, streamlined onboarding processes. These are things that we do every day. When we take over new properties, we're primarily a third-party management company, which means we're managing for other people. And every time we're taking over from some other company or some other organization and merging some of our better our ideas with their current ways of doing things. So we're very successful at it, and we're very agile and can do it in many, many different ways. So we don't see any of those as issues, but I would just like to leave these open for questions, to detail questions rather than trying to explain. The transition process, like I said, we do this all the time. Nothing new to us. We're very familiar with Innovation Park, and you have a very detailed RFP with all of your standards and policies and procedures, pretty much how we do things anyways. So not a huge issue there. And most of the things we use are web-based, which means we don't have to be anywhere to be able to do business. Rachel has her laptop with her. We're here in an hour, on our plane today. We can operate anywhere. If you ever want a meeting, give us 24 hours heads up, but if we need to be, we can be here quickly. So we're just trying to show that remote, that it's not, in this day and age, it's not that big a deal. But if you want some, if you have specific questions, by all means, we'll get down into those details. And we use Yardi. I believe your current manager uses Yardi. We use an invoice processing system. And, we're from Mobile to Tallahassee. That's our bread and butter. That's what we're sticking with. And we're trying to do as much business as possible in this area and beyond. So with that, we only have a limited amount of time, so I'd like you guys to ask some questions.
Mm-hmm. Anybody have any questions for me?
Thanks for looking back at the last RFP and that discussion. It is different to work with accounting offices in town versus out of town. I mean, I know we leaned in hard last time. I think I was the only one, neither of you were on the committee last time, so that's good. I guess with the accounting, and forgive me, I could thumb through all these pages. You still contract with a different firm. Is that right? It's not in-house?
No,
or it
all
is
in-house.
Okay.
Yeah, you have both of our accountants sitting right here.
Payroll in-house as well?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm not sure what I saw there. Then I thought you had a partnership with...
We use a CPA.
CPA,
we partner with a CPA that reviews all of our books at the end of the year and then is on retainer for us for any specific questions.
Thank you for the clarification.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yes. It's not subbed out to the CPA. That is there for reference or any official...
It's been a lot to read through, and I know that was one of the issues with some of the bidders last time. So when I saw that partnership, I just wanted to clarify that.
It's a belt and suspenders sort of.
Yeah.
It looked like everything on the accounting was in-house. I just wanted to.
Is that an annual? Is that an audit or review?
Either or.
What he's doing for your books, is it an audit or a review?
He's doing a review, and he's preparing all the tax documents. But he's also available for any questions that come up throughout the year.
Okay. But the form of the report that he does is a review, not an audit.
Correct. Of our company, but yeah, we don't need a full audit of our financials.
Okay.
And with that, I suppose you're used to working with the auditor of whatever property you're managing. I mean, for us, it's a substantial process, and it is public with the FRS, all those types of things. Do you deal with any other? I know I saw there was a couple of public facilities that you deal with, so you are used to those different types of rules. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And believe it or not, some of the asset management companies that we work for in the private sector are even more cumbersome than some of the government. So I mean, familiar with all different guys. So yes.
Okay. I might have a couple more, but you guys have.
Yeah, I just have a quick question. When you look at the fact last year you guys, the last time it was out for bid, you got a bid on it. You went back and you tried to align all the things, feedback we gave you inside of your existing proposal. When you think about where you are right now, your bidding is against incumbent that already has the contract, mm-hmm. What makes you different right now, your opinion? I mean, if this incumbent is providing great service for us, what would cause us to say, it's time to look for someone else?
Paul, that's a great question. Yeah. You know, when we bid last time, to be honest with you, we were ranked higher than them, and we were more affordable. Mm-hmm. Since that time, we've grown our operation here quite a bit. We've got a lot more experience. We've grown as an organization with our processes and our procedures tremendously, and I think that's an example of us being awarded the accredited management organization, being one of the best places to work in Florida. And we're a growth company, which I think is really aligned well with what Innovation Park wants to be. We've been growing at 30 to 40% per year in the last 3.5 years. So I think there's an alignment of interest and values there. But I believe that previously we were very capable of doing the job. I still think that we are, and just more so now.
How many people are on your staff in Tallahassee?
Six?
Mm-hmm.
Does that include maintenance?
Yes.
Okay. And there was a requirement in the bid that you have somebody in the park 30 hours a week.
Yes.
And yep. That's included in the price.
That's correct.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Remember that requirement well from 3 years ago?
Yeah. Irregardless of this opportunity, I just also note that we're actively hiring two more people in the property management business, too. So, specifically.
In what role?
Another maintenance tech and another property manager.
So you have three maintenance techs in Tallahassee at that point?
Two.
You have two now?
We have one now.
We will have two.
We will.
And we will have two property managers.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a lot of growth. That helped.
And I think that was the issue last time. I think the concern was the depth, particularly on the maintenance staff. So you would have two people on at least.
Yes.
At minimum.
We're already to the point where we need one. And this RFP just gave us an opportunity to fast forward that a little bit. So we're already advertising, already have interviews, so we're just kind of soft pedaling to see what happens. So.
Piggybacking on that question, so you have, if I heard, five buildings in Tallahassee?
One,
right now, did I write that
in
down?
In the area, in the Tallahassee area, yes. Marianna's included in that.
Marianna.
Yeah, we can consider that our footprint for Tallahassee.
The scope for Udonai and the one maintenance person and the second one that you bring on, would that be those five buildings?
Yes.
Is that in their scope? Okay.
Yeah.
So obviously we don't have, we could double the number of buildings you have to maintain. It is all in one location. So with just one additional person juggling those hours and everything else, you think you can meet the 30 hours?
Absolutely. Our current maintenance person, we told him what was going on, explained the situation, and we would have to have someone here 30 hours a week, and would he be willing to do that? And he said yes. So he's our guy, and our other properties would be secondary, so we would handle those on a case-by-case basis. We have independent contractors, we have other resources to handle our other properties. Our on-staff employee would be taking over your property.
More experience.
Yeah, staying on that, the maintenance person you're talking about putting out here, what's the skill set there? Is this, in terms of things they could do for themselves, mm-hmm. versus having to bring in a contractor to do?
He does everything right now, from changing ballast to, replacing flush valves. He can do, he's a general handyman. He can
anything
do
that doesn't require a permit or
picks
a
up trash.
Okay.
Yes. That's kind of where we stop, is if a permit is required or a license.
Okay.
That is where we stay well below that.
So he wouldn't have capabilities for HVAC?
He changes filters.
Yes. Filter. Diagnosing and that's the thing with HVAC. If you can kind of point them in the right direction, you can save a ton of money before you call the vendor out there. Mm-hmm. If you know what that whistle is or what that screech is, we save a little bit of their diagnosis time. So that's where he is capable in that sense, but he is not going to turn a wrench on a unit.
Yeah. He's very proactive.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I get a lot of calls from him on, I noticed this, I noticed that. You know, he knows the property. And he looks for things, yet he's troubleshooting for us to make sure there's not something happening.
So if you guys were successful, you say you have two technicians right now?
We have one.
And one technician. Right.
We would have two
by the time we start
before October.
In your opinion, us would be a new client for you, mm-hmm. right? Would you put your most experienced guy here? Or would you
Absolutely.
Put a new guy?
Yes. Here? Yeah, that's what I was just finishing. Right. Our current guy, we've already worked out with him to be the guy here,
okay.
and we would handle our other properties where we have long-term relationships. Okay. I've already explained to them what's going on, and I said, "Look, we're going to have somebody new, but they don't care. Yeah. They know if I tell them somebody's going to be there, somebody's going to be there."
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you had mentioned the fact earlier that during your last bidding, that from an economic standpoint, you guys felt like you were strong, right?
Mm-hmm. I believe we were more affordable.
Yes.
I recall correctly, the numbers
were given to them from that standpoint.
Yeah. Yeah. So we looked at the current contract and looked at what we proposed, and I believe the number is $1,700 is what we per month cheaper.
Okay. Yeah. So when you look at that versus the competitors, are you able to do that adequately for that amount?
Yeah. So
why can you do it so much?
Sure.
Less?
That was on my list.
And I don't know exactly how Ed and Frank run their company, so I'll talk about two things. One of them I can't really answer because I don't know how they run their company. But, you know, over the last 3.5 years, we've onboarded 40-something properties. So we've really efficient. We've really built some great processes on onboarding properties and making sure that we take care of our clients. This would not be the largest portfolio that we want in a single. This would not be. So we've done larger portfolios at one time, and we've been very successful by that. And you can see the tenant satisfaction surveys that we send out are very high. So we've been successful doing this over and over. And the reason we're confident doing this is because of our processes that are in place. So how can we do it more affordably? Well, one is technology. We deploy a lot of technology very well, and we think that that's one way that we can do things financially more successfully or more affordably than others. And to be honest with you, the other one is that I'm interested in growing a company. So I don't take any money out of my company. I put it right back into the company. I haven't taken a single dollar out of the company in 3.5 years that I've had it. So I'm interested in building a world-class real estate company. And through that, sometimes you need to scale. And so I'm not interested in pulling money out and buying a boat with it. So you guys get to be the beneficiary of that.
But I guess that does raise the question. Obviously, the onboarding scope is a critical piece. And so that's pretty significant to me that you've onboarded 40 properties in 3.5 years. That's great. And this, and not to dig too deep into what you might do in the future, I know this may be kind of proprietary, but if you're focused on growth right now, there may come a point where you want to jump to a place where it's more in line with other property management companies in the area. I mean, could you foresee a time, or is that going to be a slow build? Do you hear what I'm saying? 3 years from now, if we're at renegotiation, or, you know, we're looking at this again, is the price going to double or something like that?
I don't think that would be.
You hear where I'm going. I mean, if you're making it lean now just so you can bring on more properties.
I guess that's not the intent. We're not undercutting things to just grow.
Yeah.
We're a profitable company.
Okay.
What I mean is that we're going to do things smart and we're going to do things right. We have not increased property management. We've never increased property management.
Our fees increase on the properties where we are percentage based on gross rents. So when they go up, ours go up. But we do have flat fee properties and we've never increased them. So that's part of doing business and partnering with people. We come in with a price, you're going to get that price unless the situation changes. So the workload changes, the scope of work changes. Yeah, there's definitely time to talk about that. But, I mean, you guys bid this out every 3 years, so you're going to be checking on that.
So the fee that you're proposing is a flat fee. The contract does have a provision in it for a CPI increase.
Correct.
at our discretion. So
correct.
You know, if we think inflation has just gotten out of control, but other than that, you don't see
the way it reads is flat fees.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
So that's what you're expecting.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Unless we were to bring on another building in that time.
The scope change.
Right. Exactly. Well, yes, absolutely. Yeah. But yeah, in terms
Do you all provide property management services for any wet labs?
Any wet labs?
Laboratory.
We have several medical facilities, and I know that we've done some laboratories within the medical facilities.
Yeah, nothing with any special, any kind of special requirements above and beyond the norm.
We're in the process of building a research building.
We'll see when that's out. That might be 3 years by the time that
we're out. We'll get real familiar real quick. Okay, anybody else got anything? Because I think we've run out of time.
Just one last question,
yeah.
If you're okay with that. And this is true in both presentations, both companies. You deal with a lot of property that is retail. It's something more typical where you would have the rents coming in a more typical fashion and everything like that. Is there a difference that you see between a property like that and a research park or some other public entity or something? I'm just curious if you've ever seen a difference between the type of scope and property we have versus other properties you might manage.
One of our core values is being agile, and so our property management agreements with different clients tend to vary a decent amount. So we have several other assignments that are based in similar as this, you know, flat fees, maybe not paying rent. We've got some family office that occupies buildings that almost operates like this.
Yeah.
So no, I don't think so. I think it's well within our
between
experience.
State contracts, federal contracts. We've seen about every which way you could do it. So we are not thrown off by this one.
I assumed you had. I was just curious if there was any distinction.
Question.
Yeah.
I have one more question.
One more question.
Yeah.
One more question. One more question.
So yeah, The big concern for me is this transition, obviously on the accounting side. You know, I have no concerns on the property management side, I don't believe. But on the accounting side, you know, we have so much history in Yardi that is very valuable to us. And the big question is how much of that can be ported from Talcor system into your system? Have you guys looked into that?
My understanding from Yardi is they can upload from an existing company into ours.
Okay.
And we've approached that just looking at some other opportunities. So it is something that can be done.
Okay.
And it should be pretty seamless over. So that shouldn't be an issue at all.
And with both of us using Yardi, we can make it look exactly how you currently receive it, if that's what, how you
same
want it to look.
Same term accounts and all that.
Absolutely.
I ran a sample report just with fake numbers in it if you wanted to see it. I mean, this is what we produce. We don't see what you guys see.
Sure.
But just to show you, I mean, it's going to look pretty similar because I've taken over other properties with the RE accounting.
I'm not concerned about that. I think the big thing for me is just the history. Because you know, so many times you're like, okay, what do we do? And, you know.
And that's a big deal for us. And that's a big deal for us because as we're providing accounting services for you, the more history we have, the better information we can provide through reporting and through analysis.
Yeah, budgeting, forecasting.
I have a second question. The second last question. As part of the transition, one of the challenges is going to be that we will be ending the year, our fiscal year, on the day you would take over, okay, or the next day, okay. So, and by November we will be going through our audit. Are you prepared to deal with that end of year? I mean, you got a big learning curve. You got to close out the year. You got to get ready for the audit. We'll be moving boxes from one place to another and. Is that something you're
prepared? Here's the amazing thing about that. You guys would be the only client that we have that is on that fiscal year. That is a slow season for us, so we absolutely would have the time to dedicate solely to making that happen. Plus, one of the benefits is we're an accounting team, so we do have an administrative person who works with us as well. So when we look at your accounting services, it's not just one person. We're working as a team to make sure everything's done ahead of schedule. With the detail that is necessary and that everything is triple checked to make sure that it's accurate.
Okay.
This is funny. I was going to...
You get a second last question?
No, I was going to bug Kim and say that there was a last question because I mean, you hit this right off the bat, right? There was more questions about accounting last time. Right. And for you not to ask about accounting yet.
I'm going to let you all ask yours first.
That was answered a lot of my questions too, Karen. I really appreciate that. It is interesting to me. Would this be the first time that you have a yardie to yardie onboarding of a? I mean, if, out of those four, okay. So I just was curious since you said you think there's a way to transfer it if you haven't been through.
So
that before.
I haven't actually personally gone through it as a company. We have.
Okay.
I just haven't actually, but I know that it is capable and it will not be an issue at all.
I just wanted to clarify that. I wasn't sure.
Worst case scenario, yardie gives the ability to export to itself.
Okay.
So that is a worst case scenario.
Yeah.
More work for us,
yeah.
But if that's what you need, then that's what we'll do. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it. I just wanted to clarify that.
Okay.
Yeah, so when I say that, I just, if you ask me, have you personally walked through those steps? I have not, but I have complete confidence that it will not be an issue.
Great.
And our current agreement, as well as this one, has a, I think, a 60-day period where the current company will cooperate within the transition, so.
Oh, yeah.
And our goal, of course,
which,
is to have that on board within 30
days.
So that really is our goal, is we work our hardest to have everything on board and fully functioning within the first 30 days.
Okay.
So.
And this contract will be awarded officially August 2nd, and doesn't start until October 1st. So there's also a 60-day window to prepare for that as well.
Wonderful.
So.
All right. You've done a lot of work in the last 3.5 years. Thanks for
getting started.
Yeah,
thank you all.
All right,
thank you.
And we don't wait like last time, right?
No, I think we do. Yeah, they're going to reconvene. Right?
Yeah, we'll reconvene for discussion. I don't think you waited around last time, but it's up to you if you want to stick around.
It is.
We had everybody in the room.
Were they all in the room last time? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. It's a smaller crowd this time.
That's true.
So we'll see you again in a little while.
Yes.
Yeah, it wasn't as complicated. So thank you guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Good to see you again.
Thank you, Kristen.
Nice
your assistant is here. He's helping me with a couple of questions I've called about for my home.
I'm really lucky.
I will.
He's really great.
Thank you. Very nice.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Good
work.
I like that.
They can come on in.
Anywhere you want us in particular?
No, sir. Right up there.
Wherever. Yeah.
Okay, we'll move them around. Okay.
Oh, see, Stephanie's angling over there because that's where she always sits.
Yeah.
You got to set the table.
I'm going to use some water.
I can't set the table. Special day.
Y'all are?
Okay.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I haven't seen you in a while.
I know.
It's been a while. Still on record. My whole life is on the record, it seems. We have had, and forgive us, we'll let the guys get water and everything, and Lori. There has been more large public hearings this spring than I think I've seen in any given year. Large public hearings. We've had hundreds come into public hearings. From land use to children to other things. So it is, we had another one this week. It's been pretty crazy. Yeah.
But you weren't on the CRA meeting board the other day. I was going to that meeting. Weren't you lucky?
First
one. Somebody started them up, didn't they?
We're still recording.
Well, she's the only elected official. No,
that's true.
I still don't understand why they were talking about improvements in the inside of the building when Roxanne Manning told me it was facade improvements on the exterior of the building.
I don't think, just chatting, I heard it was inside stuff.
It was must have been.
They didn't go for a traditional facade grant.
That
parcel only had
it
two.
It was inside. It was not.
I mean, it wasn't to be a grant. It was to be a payback through incremental tax increase But it was done at the request of the CRA staff.
So
they were trying to do what they wanted to see him do on the backside of the building, make it look nice.
I'd be leery going in for any CRA money if it wasn't for traditional facade grants and paint grants right now. If I was advising the client.
Right now is a critical piece
right
of
now.
That statement. You're
right.
Absolutely right. Ed.
I mean, yeah. Then that can be fair. You know, if you're matching 50-50 or greater, okay, that seems like it should be reasonable.
So I've got a spreadsheet.
Okay.
Of the CRA's the incremental tax increase with property value in the downtown district 04 going forward, leaving with, I think it's only 2 years that the assessed value in that district went down. But even with those 2 years from 04 to 16, there's a 50% increase in value.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's.
And I really think that's why it scored so well.
That's smart, actually.
Wi-Fi password.
I'm gonna do the same thing.
Okay, I'll shut up. All right, I got us logged in. Do we have to go through the same tedious process?
No,
I got us
we're
logged
on the
in at 4:30.
You come back. You good?
We got 20 minutes. This was.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Are y'all ready?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you guys for allowing us to come out and hopefully have a serious discussion and renew our contract because we enjoy being here. I'll give you a little, first of all, I'll introduce you. I think you guys know, Stephanie, who's our property manager that's on site all the time. Christy Bennett is our in-house CPA that's worked for us for years. She never comes out. We don't let her out. But y'all see her when you get over there. There's me who talks
She comes to
all the time.
Committee meetings.
And there's Laurie. This is your team. Dominic is also your the maintenance tech, and he was working earlier today, but he gets off at 4 o'clock. So I think you guys know us pretty well. We took over management under emergency contract in 2010, if you remember. At that time, then we went through and we had to have an RFP with the chairman that was at the time, and we had to go through that process. Then we have had 8 straight unqualified audits, which I think is very important. Basically now, Lori is gonna go through what we do here.
Okay. Well, good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity to be here. As Ed mentioned, we've been managing the property since 2010 and under the leadership of Christy, who is our in-house CPA. We have received the 8 qualified audit opinions, and we have all the appropriate internal controls in place to run your business in an effective and orderly manner and help to safeguard your assets from any loss. In fact, Talcorp was instrumental and played a key role in developing all the internal controls that are still in place today. We utilize Yardi Voyager for our property management and accounting system. It is both an accounting and lease, has a both accounting and a lease management portion that allows us to automate many of the processes to drive an efficiency in the process. We also use Yardi's PayScan module for our invoice processing. And PayScan allows us to scan the invoices and to process the payables in a digital manner, which helps avoid errors by eliminating redundant data entry. And then each month, Christy prepares your monthly statement, so you're getting all your financial statements prepared by a CPA. Just like the authority and other major corporations, we recognize that in order to retain good employees, we need to provide competitive salaries and good benefits. So we provide all our employees with health insurance, vacation pay, holidays, and a 401k. And we additionally provide items such as a maintenance truck, and cell phones, or a mileage reimbursement, maintenance tools, and the like. And while we recognize that this increases our monthly fee, we value our employees, and we feel that that's important to also maintain a low turnover rate, which provides consistency for you. Stephanie, as Ed mentioned, is our property manager on the site and will continue to be. She has 12 plus years of commercial property management experience. She currently spends about 7 hours a week on Innovation Park matters, and probably nearly doubles when she meets with Ron. One of Stephanie's greatest assets I see is that she takes great ownership in the properties that she manages. She looks for creating operational efficiencies, and also looks at how to make improvements which help to improve your value and marketability of your property. Dominic is the maintenance tech for the site. He has a strong background in HVAC, electrical, and plumbing. He is able, with his skills, to perform many of the repairs in-house. And by way of example, when FSU recently leased up the Johnson building, there were many items, many dozens literally, of light fixtures and ballast and hundreds of light bulbs that needed to be done. And in large part, that work had been intentionally delayed because of its vacancy. So all that work had to be done in a timely and efficient manner, which he was able to accomplish in-house. Stephanie and Dom are our primary staff assigned here, but we work as a team at Talcor. So we have additional property managers and maintenance techs that are available as backup to provide coverage so that you have uninterrupted service in the event of a planned or an unplanned absence. Our larger local presence makes this possible, ensuring that you get all the services necessary and reduces the, keeps from incurring any unnecessary expenses for contracting out for a small repair. We also see that this is going to be critically important because in this new RFP, you're now requiring 5 hours a day on site. So having that redundancy is even more critically important, whereas in the old agreement, it was actually 25 hours a week, so you had a little better flexibility previously. Our maintenance techs have skills that complement each other. One might be better in electrical, while another is better in plumbing, so they work together as a team for cross-training or providing assistance as may be needed. And just to touch a bit on our maintenance work order system, we do use Yardi for our work order system, and people can submit a request either by calling our office, emailing, or through the website. And once that request is received, we enter into the work order system, and then an email is immediately generated to both the maintenance tech and the property manager. The maintenance tech will investigate to see if it's a repair that he can do. And if not, if it's something that requires outside services, he will work with the property manager to procure the services that are needed. He will, in the meantime, make sure there's all safety is addressed and mitigate any damages. And our goal is to make sure that all work orders are addressed in 24 hours, but some that may require longer, we would at least try and get back to the person that made the request and let them know the reason for the delay. While we do have many of our staff that monitor phones and emails after hours, we do, just to ensure that you do have 24 hours of coverage, have an on-call local maintenance tech available at all times. So you can call the Talcor corporate office and be able to get someone to assist you in the event of an emergency on after hours and weekends. At this point, I'm going to turn it back to Ed.
Okay. The last few things I want to cover are things to consider. NAI Talcor is locally owned. We've been here for a long, long time. We make our money here and we spend our money here. We don't take our money back somewhere else. We have an in-house accounting department. We're vertically integrated. That's very important for anybody. It's not, then there's none of these, one of these deals. We're accountable. We're 100% accountable for doing things right and doing things wrong. Lori stressed on backup. Backup's important. I'm not sure they know who their maintenance guy is yet. We know who our maintenance guy is, and we know who the three guys behind him are. And we know them, we know what they're like, and we know what their strengths are. I think that's incredibly important. The principals and everybody in this room can be here in 30 minutes if you have a problem. That may not seem important, but we've had issues before where somebody needs to see us and they need to see a decision maker. We will get here within 30 minutes or less. I'm here, we're 15 minutes from here. Where we are. We have $1.5 million fidelity bond. I'm sure the other guys do too, but you have to have a fidelity bond. Y'all probably learned that last time before. No one in this room was here 8 years ago. We also, something else to consider, are you guys familiar with Urban Tallahassee? Have you guys, the rest of you guys know what Urban Tallahassee is? Okay. I think the commissioner does. I know it's important for you guys to want to get your word out and be able to tell what you're doing with your new incubator and how to market yourself to the new era, basically. We purchased Urban Tallahassee, which is a website that TJ Lewis started 10 years ago. We purchased it so that we could continue to market what's going on in commercial real estate projects in town. Urban Tallahassee has 16,000 Facebook followers and 8,000 Twitter followers. That's massive. If you compare that to Talcor, we're pretty good. We have 2,900 versus 16,000 Facebook. We have 1,800 Twitter followers versus 8,000. Beck has 1,537 Facebook followers and 329 Twitter accounts. The bulk of those will be Pensacola. You want to get your message out, we will give you guys, in addition, we'll let you write a guest column, you know, periodically, every quarter, every month, whatever, to be able to get the word out to people that you want to talk to. Because these people that you are people that are actively involved in wanting to know what's going on in our community. It's all organically grown, and it's a powerful, powerful marketing tool. That has a value. So if you're sitting there and you're doing your score sheets and you say, okay, how do we true up that $25,000 or $30,000 difference? I think you true it up by making sure that the benefits are equal, making sure the experience of our employees weigh against the experience of their employees that are going to be here, which I'm not even sure you know right now. And you also look like the skilled maintenance tech. Dom and his skills save the park money. There's no doubt they save the park money. And then you throw in the value of being able to communicate and being able to spread your message, not only through our website, which is powerful, but through the Urban. Urban gets 40,000 Facebook. They get 40,000 new page views a month. So that you go into the website and you flip it, they're getting 40,000 a month, and we're trending toward 50. That has a dollar value to it as well. So you add all those things, the $25,000 and $30,000 gap is not anywhere near $25,000 or $30,000. And there is a down significantly. And we're proud of our price. I mean, we don't, you know, we like where we are, and we're comfortable, and we really appreciate the business that you guys let us have, and we think we're worth it, and we'd love for you to renew our contract for another 3 years or whatever the term is. So thank you guys. You have any questions for us?
How many taxes?
We have four that are like on a rotating basis, but we have a total of 12.
Some are dedicated to, like we manage the Hermitage building where Ash Williams is state board. We have one or two there. You know, we have some that are dedicated, like High Point downtown. Mm-hmm. But, and we can always call them in if we needed to.
Oh, yeah.
But we have four right now.
And we still tap each other's expertise because, like, for example, at Hermitage, they get a lot better equipment and,
yeah,
like, set the trend.
They get whatever they want. That building counts.
So, but they, because of some of the things that they get to deal with, you know, they're a good tool for us. Some of the other property managers to reach out to when we need things. We share different vendors as far as things that need to be done. I know, like, for example, I've had water issues when I dealt with City Center, and I know that there was recently some humidity issues that we were able to help Stephanie out at the Johnson Building. So we work together as teams to help each other on what our different experiences are, as well as sharing the knowledge and cross-training.
One thing we didn't put in there, I didn't mention either, is that those of you that have dealt with Lori, you know how good she is. She used to be the director of real estate for the city of Miami. And I remember several years ago when y'all were going through and having to go through and rebid, and the technical way that you had, were y'all involved in that process, how technical that was? I don't know if you were here.
They're still using my same template.
Okay. It's the templates that she had on how you legally have to do it in order to get through the processing. None of us knew how to do that. She basically wrote all the templates that y'all are still using. So there's power in that, and there's value in that.
Do y'all provide management services for any wet lab facility?
No, just what was here at the time, in the Collins Building previously, but not, no.
The big lab.
I
just have one question. When you were describing the fact that you're a Tallahassee-based company, mm-hmm, and you're local and you have, mm-hmm, you don't have to go out and hire those guys, just on the counter side of that, you know, you have an office over in Dothan, right?
Right, we do.
So how do you When you're in Dothan, how do you sell?
We have partners. We have partners in the Dothan office that live there.
So you have partners there, and you say, okay, we're.
We have partners in the Panama City Beach Dothan office that live there, correct? Okay. And they make their pitches over there.
Okay.
I may go over there. Last time I went over to make a pitch, it was to St. Joe. I made it 2 years in a row for the one over in Port St. Joe, and we didn't get it, so I quit going back because I told them I obviously couldn't deliver. But yeah, the Panama City Beach office, for example, our partners are over there. We don't have a partner in Dothan.
Okay.
We have two partners in Panama City Beach, which is 70 miles from Dothan.
Okay. Okay.
But yeah, but that's how we do it.
Okay.
Right.
Well, I mean, obviously, I have no questions because I kind of know what they do. And I'll just say that I have no issues with anything that they're doing. That obviously you're trying to address this fairly large gap, the financial gap. And I just don't know how we address that. I know you've done, you've taken a shot at some of those differences, but I think that's my biggest question is that, and I think we'll get more into that in the evaluation conversation, but and just to go on the record to say I have absolutely no issues whatsoever with the service that we get. I think they go above and beyond. They've gotten better in the last year or so.
What are we paying now?
It's on there. It's the 86,357 is this current year.
Okay.
And the only increase, because we're keeping our fees basically the same, other than under this RFP, we were tasked with passing through any costs such as copies, postage, those kind of items, the Yardi access
of $2,700 a year. Right.
So that's the only cost difference.
We were getting some a la carte charges, and I just asked them to wrap all costs into it, so we didn't get any of that.
So it's in the new.
So we took the same fee and just added the passwords. We didn't raise the fee.
Roughly $300.
Well, from a property management standpoint, one of the things that doesn't reconcile is that the Beck proposal is that 6.25% of revenue from those properties, and yours is at 9.6, but it includes, both of them include 30 hours a week of what doesn't come in a standard property management deal. You always pay for the labor somewhere. But having it included in that, there's a big spread. But I kind of wonder.
I check on the benefits.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if they pay benefits to their people or not. We do, and we're proud of that. They can actually be sick and get paid when they're sick, and they can they can go on vacation, and we contribute to their 401k and those things, and we're proud of that. We do that with every employee that we have, and we think that's a quality of life issue. I don't know if they do or not. We also know who you've got here, without, and we know what we got here. So, and we're. We scrubbed over it. I mean, her and I scrubbed over it, and all of us to try to make sure to see exactly, okay, what are we paying? Is it fair? What are we doing here and that? So, but I'd also factor in those other things. I mean, our maintenance, you have added skills when you start rolling contracts that they probably haven't done before. We've got the maintenance techs that can, if we can diagnose and take care of a problem at 45 an hour, it's a lot better than 80 an hour, as you know, whatever you're paying them. The plumbers of the world and other things. There are values there that you really can't quantify. And I think the marketing piece that's important to you guys to make sure that you get exposed to the correct people, that has a dollar value. That absolutely has a dollar value. And how do you quantify it? Does it close the gap completely? No. And we're not, probably not, but I bet it closes it halfway or some, more than halfway. I bet it gets it into, in the 10 to 12 range or something, and I'm guessing. But that's where we are.
I'll tell you what, that was a sneeze. It's like Rocket Man blowing up his rockets underneath the ground.
Next time we'll schedule the meetings in the morning.
Yeah.
Okay, question?
We're running out of time, but I've always got time for one more question.
Mm-hmm. We are running out of time, but I hadn't asked one yet.
I'll yield my last question.
No, you can ask. Okay, elephant in the room is what we're touching on, is the cost here. So during the last round of RFP, you were not the low bidder, but mm-hmm. there were really compelling reasons for the maintenance staff, the depth of experience. You're touching on some of those. This is a public organization. Mm-hmm. We don't receive tax dollars. Mm-hmm. I think any business would look at the bottom line in the same way, but I think there is an added level of attentiveness to that, particularly from where we've come from. We haven't had, you all know better than any, as well as anyone, the financial issues that we've had in the past, and that we're really coming into the strongest position we've been in.
Temporarily.
I'm going to be glass half full of this. You be half empty.
Okay. That's my job.
So, I think, I mean, I will say the same in the discussion next, but I think that some of my concerns last time around, sitting in this room, with the lack of experience or enough staff in Tallahassee, they've been mitigated to some extent. I'll save some of that discussion for a little while. So I think urban Tallahassee is an interesting piece. Yes, I was aware of that before, and the marketing, so that is an interesting added incentive there. But you all are local residents. You see what we do. How do we justify that increase? And I want to just dig a little deeper. I mean, if you were sitting outside reading the paper, reading the minutes, something like that, it is coming to the point where it's a little more balanced, and I think there is a point where the incredible experience and building in everything in recent years, I hope you all know forever how instrumental you've been as a partner, but there's a point at which the board has to look at things just apples to apples going forward.
How many of them live here? How many people in this room lived here? I'm just curious.
Are the people that were here?
One. Yeah, that's
the
people.
Yeah. The people.
And Donnie King.
Donnie
is the one.
It's the only one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And your Dothan office example stood out to me because that's pretty much what they are starting to expand. But I mean, that's a fair point. And yeah, I'm wondering what you all are thinking about that. Beyond the experience, beyond urban Tallahassee,
beyond the benefits question.
It is the benefits. On the public face of this, I'm just wondering what your gut reaction is. I mean, this is a really critical
we understand.
Issue.
But can I think from a government standpoint, being a citizen, seeing your dollars go to a local company is important.
It is.
I also think that the benefits, I mean, I'm sure they're probably their accountants and stuff like that. They probably do give benefits. I'm not saying they don't give it to anybody. But we're talking
it's
about
the maintenance guys.
We're talking about the guys that are here.
Yeah.
You know, are they getting the benefits or are they part-time people? And
are they contract labor?
Right. And I think that is key. I mean, as a government entity, I would think that you would want to be supporting a company that does provide benefits, just like you guys get your own benefits. Why, you know, should a company be penalized because they provide those benefits? And I think that is important. I don't doubt that they do provide benefits for some of their people, but I don't think the people that are going to be here are getting it.
I have a hard time believing you could do what you're doing for the price that they're offering. And
I we're on the record, but I agree with you completely. I think they've underbid.
Yeah. And
I think they're going to figure that out if they get it. They'll get in here, and then it becomes a problem for everybody. We know what it costs. We tried to lower our fee. We sat in there and tried to talk ourselves into it for about an hour 2 weeks ago, and we couldn't talk each other into it. I mean, literally, we sat there and said, well, what if we do this?
The bids last time around, we were $7,200 at the time. I mean, that wasn't the final contract amount, but Beck was $49.58. They actually reduced it $58 3 years later. So they're not loading it. Advisors was at $98.50 a month, structure at $68.90, and TLG at $63.50. So you can kind of tell that we were all kind of in the ballpark, other than you had one low ball and you had one high extreme. And the others were all pretty close.
Yeah, you don't always. You've been in business a long time. You don't always take the low bid. When it's much lower than the rest of them, what do you do? scratch your head. You generally kick the low one and the high one out, and you negotiate with the guys in the middle.
Take 30 hours a week. The guy that's, I don't know, we make, you know, about $15 an hour.
Yeah, ours is.
No, 18.
$18 an hour. It's even more than most requests. But you end that up, and there's not a whole hell of a lot left.
And you try to hire right now one of those guys.
Very hard.
I mean, I'm not sure who they have hired. They didn't have it designated. We do not, we can't find maintenance guys to hire. Because every general contractor, if you can swing a hammer or drive a truck or do anything, you got a job right now.
Yeah.
We're lucky we've kept our guys because we pay them well, we treat them well, and we have a good family atmosphere. And that's really important. But you don't get that at $12 an hour. You know, they're flipping over at 12 an hour. You just can't do it. We think they underbid it. We think they did last time, and we think they did this time. We're always willing to talk and work things out, but we couldn't get there. We would lose money. We can reallocate resources for that, but we don't want to.
Any other questions? It's 5 o'clock.
Yes, sir. All right.
So at
thank
this
you
point,
guys.
Thank you.
Yeah,
all
thank
very
you
very much. Yeah.
So we can reconvene the portion.
Yeah.
So we're going to have everybody there while we negotiate.
While we discuss. Yes, that is.
Well, I think that sucks.
Yes. Welcome to sunshine.
You're in the sunshine. Yeah.
What do you mean? We're going to all be in there?
Yeah.
Okay.
We should all be here too.
You're allowed to.
You don't have to.
But yes.
Oh, is it going to be now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. It'll be brief because it's 5 o'clock.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
so we're staying here?
Yes.
Bring them back in. Okay, yeah, well, go ahead. You go. Okay, she's got to go pick up a child at daycare. Is that okay?
Yeah, we're.
Thank you, Chrissy.
Bye, Chrissy.
This is all their evaluation. Now.
Okay, I got it.
Before she pays fine.
Yeah, that's right. Before she pays the fine.
Yeah, go ahead and have a seat.
Really?
I would suggest not.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I think that was the whole point of the other
it's
your discussion. Oh, yes.
Wow, dollar.
We're going to talk about
anything.
Yeah. You know, obviously, it's tough to see.
All right.
Okay,
so we have reconvened.
Back in.
Thank you.
There's something I want to clarify now that we're back, is that with as a result of the Q&A, we took the annual increase out of Beck Partners on the spreadsheet there. If you notice, we had 2.5% plugged in because we were just anticipating that's approximately what CPI would have been. So we took that out, and that makes the total spread for 3 years like right at $100,000.
Okay.
So it's obviously because of the top force increases, it's a little closer in the early years. It's 31, then it's 33, and then it's 35. So just for round numbers, it's 100 over 3.
All right. So how do y'all want to do this? You want to try to go down line item by line?
Well, in basically, there's two ways you can approach this. At the end of the day, because there are only two proposers, this is actually very easy compared to what it normally is. You're going to rank your two first and second. And since there are three of you, whichever one gets at least two ones is the winning bid. So you can use that score sheet to consider your own rankings. We don't aggregate those scores, so the scores are simply for you to rank your top two.
Are you looking to put a number one or number two?
Yeah, basically. At the end of the day, that's what you're going to get. At the very bottom there, you'll see there's a place to put who's one and who's two, but it's going to be based on the points. There's a small local preference difference. There's 5 points if they're, and it's on there, but there's 5 points if you have a headquarters.
One is higher, one is low.
No. In each section, you're going to put a number of points.
Okay. So you're going to award points based on this. See the bold amount? So 20 points on the property management piece.
Okay, I thought you said you were just, since there's just two of us.
At the bottom, you're going to get down to who you're going to rank based on the total points.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
What?
Question?
Sir.
Okay.
You're not used to me calling Mr. Chair, right?
I'm reluctantly feeling old when you say that.
Chairmanship has nothing to do with age, I promise. So Ron, just to clarify, I mean, we get into this when we do evaluations of RFPs or employees or anyone, that we have a structure to go through the points and the allocation, but because we have two companies, we can really talk through each one of these things. But you are saying we need a final score on each of these lists.
Yes.
For the public record, right?
Yes.
So we're not ditching the score. The score
Correct.
Will be there. Okay.
But based on the total points you award to each, that will determine who's first and who's second for each of you.
Right.
What we don't do is we don't aggregate your points and his points and this points to determine who's first and second.
Right.
It's simply based on.
Just wanted to make sure we were all on the same page with that.
Sure.
It might be easier for me to, it's your discretion as chairman. We can go through and indicate points on this before a discussion of what we're thinking.
Does anybody
that
have
might
any,
be easier.
Any questions or concerns before you fill this out, or questions that we can get answered?
Internally between us?
Yeah, just talking between us. I mean, if you
like, pretend like they're not in the room.
We're all these categories 20 points each, and just divide each one of the categories by 1.3 or whatever it ends up being, and we just score it that way and add it up. If they meet the criteria, they get the full points, and they don't. They'll try to dive in any deeper than do they meet it.
Well, the only thing I'll ask is that you use that point system because that's what was specified.
Exactly. I know what I'm saying. If this is 20 points, and there's 9-10 things here, they each get 2 points each. To add
you could
20.
You could do if you can do that however you want.
Yeah. Exactly.
And you don't all have to do it the same.
Okay.
That's the advantage of you each individually ranking first and second. Is
okay.
You can.
So we're looking at the points first. Okay.
You don't want to have a discussion, any discussion first?
I think one of the things that we have to take into consideration, we do have, we automatically gave a local vendor preference at the
mm-hmm.
bottom. So
mm-hmm.
we scored that well, and we gave them vendor preference of 0, 3, or 5 if they're located in the area. And so I think we can take that off the page and off the table, and because we've already ranked.
Yeah, that's determined. I mean, those will get added in, but yes.
Ranked in, so
he's going to add that to the bottom. So all you
got
to do is
bottom. Yep. This rank the other ones.
Well,
take independent shots.
I'm still wrestling with the price of the two. And the difference, the quality of the service that we've had, that we're happy with, and the concerns that I have about being able to do what we're asking for the price that's been quoted by me.
And
you guys gave a great number. I just don't know how you do what we're expecting for that number. And to that end, it's just a quandary. Because I mean, if it was just low price, there's no question which way to go. But if it's going to be relative to what we're expecting, I worry that we might pick if we pick back that we might end up with them being unhappy with us at some point with the amount of service we require and they would be an unhappy camper. I don't know how to say it. I mean, I know I'm in the bid world myself. I've done some really stupid things, and not that I'm saying you're doing a stupid thing, but I've made mistakes when I considered how much work was going to be done, and then find out later, and then you don't bid it again, and now you're going. Start having a rotation of your service provider.
And there's a cost of getting this wrong.
Yeah.
you know, it's not janitorial services or landscaping or whatever, you can just, you know, switch. There's a switching cost involved.
The problem that we have, though, is that the way this sheet is set up, price is a big part of it.
Yep.
It's a major part of it.
Yep.
And there's a big gap between the prices.
So for me on this sheet, and it, this is why I mentioned any type of evaluations. I mean, there's a subjective piece in there. You can do an employee evaluation and get wildly different numbers from people who think highly of that individual. The first two categories, property management and accounting, I can base that on experience, of course, Talcourt, firsthand knowledge, but if we're looking at this as the proposal and the presentation, from what we just heard and what we've read, both companies have capabilities of meeting what is required in property management and accounting. I think I had more questions last time around. To me, it's the qualifications and experience that still lends some bit of concern. It's the unknown factor. I may have a little bit more ability to say the number's what it is, that's what we gotta need. There may be problems in the future, but if someone's telling us that's what they can do it for, it's hard to question that a bit. On the other hand, we've also heard a lot of dialogue about benefits and other things and the depth of services, 12 maintenance people and staff versus one and a second one by the fall. That depth of service locally is still, it is growing for Beck, and I think it's great. I have a hard time speaking this way with all of you sitting there. I'm just going to say that. But it's growing. I think it is substantial. But recruiting, hiring, having that experience level on staff to know that we got the right people in place and we don't see a lot of turnover. And this is 7 years of history out here, for almost 8 years. That it would be the qualifications and experience are still more of my concern. But if I went down this list and it was qualifications and experience on one side and the price on the other, I'm probably going to come out pretty damn close on the numbers. And that's a really hard position because, as we just talked about in the second discussion, we got to justify, we have to find a way to justify a higher cost if we were going to go there. The urban Tallahassee and the marketing piece and the depth of experience, those were the key differences. Benefits that could be outside of the scope that we could receive from that.
Yeah. My position is that each one of the first criteria, when you talk about the property management experience, I think both companies have demonstrated that they're adequate. They meet the basic requirements of the property management requirements. When you're looking at the accounting and reporting requirements, they meet the basic requirements. There's no difference between the two firms. But then when you get the qualification and experience, I think you can rationalize there's some differences between the firms. One company is an incumbent. They've already demonstrated the ability to take care of the property, where it talks about demonstrated experience with similar size clients. They meet all of that. The recruitment, hiring, testing policies, and all those things, I think if there's anything that's not proven right now for us, that's proven is that Talcourt has demonstrated the ability to recruit and hire the right people. So this part is unknown for us with Beck, and I think that's the first true difference between the two bidders. And then when it comes to price, there's a significant difference there. If you just look at price, and all our criteria is just price. There's nothing else there. If you just look at price, when I look at price, it's either what's the highest and what's the lowest, right? And what's the significance of the difference, right? And You know, in this particular case, there's about a 35% difference over 3 years. Mm-hmm. That's huge.
Yeah.
And so one client told us that the 35% difference is that they believe they provide better services, better benefits to their employees that may not be taken into consideration with the other group. At the end of the day, all of us have own businesses and things like that. However, contractors choose to do business. You know, we want them to be ethical in their approach and everything from that standpoint. But at the end of the day, if they meet the basic requirements, you have to take that into consideration. And so 35% gap is pretty significant. I think we have to score that way. That's my position from that standpoint.
Question for you, Ron? Similar page. Last time we went through this, having accounting services out of town was a big issue. How much we've done in recent years to streamline that? Things are in the cloud. When I was chair, I was running over to sign checks and things like that. Do you see any issues with the efficiency on accounting at this point, or have we addressed some of those questions?
There's stuff that comes up that you've got to adjust to quickly, and I don't see anything that's going to be a huge problem, other than maybe some check signing questions and how those get cut and get sent over, and how quickly we can turn around. You know, not the routine stuff, because we can plan ahead for that, and I'm sure they can, you know, courier stuff over, but the you know, it's the last minute check you got to get and get signed, and or it's over $10,000, we got to get a couple signatures and we need it right now, those kind of things. I think that would be a bit of a challenge. The other accounting stuff, I can't think of anything off the top of my head that's a big issue. One of the questions we had was, in the event of the audit, would there be any additional costs as a result of Thomas Howell Ferguson happened to do anything any different? And last year's, I went back and looked at last year's Q&A, and the response we got was that Beck would actually bring the information over here and meet with the auditors. But we also got a response from Thomas Howell Ferguson, who said that if they had to go over there because they wanted to look, you know, they wanted to be in the place where the records are happening, they wanted to meet with their staff or any of that, it would probably add about $2,000 to the audit. It'd basically be a one day trip. Mm-hmm. I think, and the hard part is a lot of these differences are very hard to quantify. In particular, risk. You have risk related to, you know, can they maintain the level of audit results that we've had for these past many years, and we all know how important that is. We have a confidence level with TalCor in that regard. I'm not saying that couldn't do it, but one difference is TalCor has a CPA on staff, and Beck does not. That does have an impact, I believe, in the long run on some of this. Again, not saying that Beck can't compensate for that with the relationship they have with their CPA. They are having a review done, which is not the same level of insurance as an audit for their own practices. So, you know, they're not going to have, I think, the same level of internal controls review that you would have in the case of an audit. And those things do matter. Even though we're having an audit done on us, their own internal policies and procedures and internal controls are important to have audited as well. Again, not suggesting that there's anything wrong with what they're doing. It's just that is one difference. But how do you quantify the risk when we're talking about $100,000 over 3 years? We have a very high level of involvement in, because of me and what I do in terms of reviewing what's happening with the property manager, that we mitigate a lot of that risk as a result. But that's one consideration. The other, as I mentioned, was switching costs, which is, we did discuss a little bit about, you know, how do we move all the information from one ERP system to another. That can be challenging, especially if you've not done it yourself before, and I'm not saying it can't be done, I think it can be done, but that's something that we could lose, and it may not seem like much, but for me it's huge. It's really a big part of what I was saying before as far as my ability to review and oversee what's going on. is that I have access to that system and I can quickly go back and analyze information and see what's happened without having to, you know, constantly asking for information. So,
but that is true.
It's also true with Beck, but what I'm saying is that's the importance of the history. Mm-hmm. And having the history in Yardi is a whole lot different than having the history in an Excel spreadsheet. If that's what we end up, as they stated, is it would be worst case scenario. But
well, what I heard about the cost of doing repairs in-house with the 30 hours that are included and the qualifications of the Vex handyman versus town board, and the fact that 30 hours a week, and it's probably even higher than this, but it'd be about $36,000 a year for the quality of the person that's going to be on site doing the maintenance, and they got to be there 30 hours a week. That doesn't leave, but $20,000, 21, 22, for the property manager's fees for the year. I'm uncomfortable with that number. I just think it's too low. I just don't think that we can expect to get the level of service that we're used to and what we feel like we need from a vendor that's all that is there in their service after that one employee is here for 30 hours. And if that guy doesn't know how to do some of the HVAC repairs that have been done by the in-house for us by Tapco without having to go out and get a
just to clarify, so in the case of Talcor, when it comes to HVAC, they're not doing HVAC repairs themselves. Now they're doing some of the same kind of diagnostics and working with the HVAC repair folks. They are doing some tweaks here and there on some things, but for the most part, no, we do hire that out on the HVAC.
Okay, well.
Most of what we get, and that got to the question that I asked of Beck, which is their ability to do those kinds of services, it's mostly the ballast and replacing fixtures and some of the basic toilet repairs and plumbing kind of stuff. But beyond that, it's most of it is still contracted out. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of value in that because we've also had situations where we didn't have that, and you could definitely tell the difference in what we were paying in terms of other costs. So. But that's improved greatly in the last 2 years.
This is incredibly minor, but I forgot it was something that stood out to me. Am I right in thinking that bank statements are currently going to directly to Talcor to be opened, or are they coming here first and then
we get both.
They come to both.
Yeah.
Okay. I think this is a holdover from when we were extra stringent on
yes.
it with everything.
That's just a dual control we have since Talcor has the checks and I sign the checks, so.
Okay. I was just curious. I think back, all the statements are coming here and they're scanned and sent over.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's, it doesn't tell me it's that much different.
No, that's
okay.
Not an issue.
Yeah.
I think if we take into consideration what all of us talk about and just take a stab at scoring it, and we can just discuss with each other our rationale behind the score and move on. That's what I'm worried about.
Okay. Peggy, for the record on the recording, the dead silence you hear is intentional.
Well,
Peggy, if you're listening to the recording trying to transcribe stuff, did it just malfunction? Or?
You need have one of the sounds you get on the hold button, right?
Yeah. This is the new one. I was doing, put you guys out new one.
Y'all hear the one about. Do you know what the bear? Let me get this right.
Remember we're recording.
Yeah.
I always have to remind people, they just forget.
What the buffalo said to his son when he sent him off to college. Bye, son.
Okay, that was safe.
You gotta break out the alcohol.
Dill, I think he wanted that on the floor.
I mean, if we got a recorder, right? We might as well use it.
I don't know if it's not recorded, but.
Yeah.
Maybe there was 100,000.
So yes, we can discuss scores now.
We've done it.
Yeah.
I can go first.
At the end of the day, the score doesn't matter.
It's the one
relative to each other. It does not matter. It's at the end of the day, it's your ranking of the two. That's why we do it this way. So because you guys each will look at that point scoring system differently, and what you really need to look at is one relative to the other for you, not your score relative to somebody else's score.
Right.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
to clarify. Okay.
Yeah. At the end of the day, one is one, and one is
you know who, yeah. You know who you want to be one, and who you want to be two. Yeah. So we'll. Yeah.
And what I was going to say before mentioning the scores is that there are two issues that came up in the discussion, and I mean this happens in any RFP discussion when you have two interviews or multiple interviews, that I would love to ask additional questions or have a different category for points. So I'm going to say that.
Hey, I'll go first.
Huh? No, I'm gonna let him go first for scoring. I'm gonna say that what is not in my scoring here is urban Tallahassee. Yeah. I do think that's an exceptionally value-added piece for us. And you two have heard me, three of you, at the board meetings ad nauseum talking about marketing. And that's a change in the last year. It was not available from Talcor, maybe the last few months, I don't know. But I don't see place to score for that on here. To me, and maybe this is just the hat I wear most days, if it's not a RFQ, if it's an R, you know, it's request for proposals or bids, the cost is substantial. So, but the other question that came up were the benefits and the depth of services and things like that. So I could put the same score down for both of them. I try to do it blindly without doing math in my head. So this is exceptionally difficult. But now I'll let you go first.
Yeah. I guess
it's probably, with those two qualifications, because we don't have something to score Urban Tallahassee.
Yeah.
That is something totally unique.
Yeah, it's probably the engineering piece, so I have to use numbers. So what I did is I tried to look at it from a very objective standpoint, just looking at each individual item. And the first three categories were very close, meaning just did they meet the bare minimum. And I felt like in property management, they both met the bare minimum, got the same score. Accounting reporting, they both met the bare minimum, got the same score. Qualification experience, I thought there was some separation there, primarily from what I talked about earlier around recruitment and hiring. I think there's a little risk there. We know right now with the existing team, the whole nine yards, with especially the technicians and things like that. So I saw a separation there. So the score was a 5-point difference there between the team, between Talcor and Beck. And then, but when I got the price, you have to take into consideration that there's a difference in price. And because the price is so significant, I ranked Beck ahead of Talcor price. So when you look at my overall score, I have both of them finishing at 95 out of 100. Okay, and then I let the math do the numbers from there. We automatically gave a local vendor preference over the vendor that's out of town. So we gave the local vendor 5 and a.
Excuse me, how are we not locally?
There's two levels of preference. You get 3 points for being a local vendor, but you're headquartered in someplace else. If you're a local vendor with your headquarters here, you get 5 points.
Okay.
So it's a basically a 2-point difference.
Okay. Yeah. So and that ends up being the gap, a 2-point gap because of the proximity.
So you scored
98-100. Number one is Talcor, number two is Beck.
Okay. You want me to get okay? I came up with a score of 75 for Talcor, 68 for Beck. Scores Talcor number one, Beck number two. And I really think there's in the money, there's a question in my mind if we've actually fairly assessed the value of the services that would be provided. So I don't think it's, anyway, that's how I rate it.
Are you saying that we're ranked lower for being cheaper? Is that what you
Well, mean? Actually, I gave Talcor a higher score for property management. We've had here with them, and that you just can't give me that assurance because you haven't done that job. But it's what it is. I gave you both the same accounting score because I think it's one half better than the other. The qualifications and experience level to Talcor's favor, 20-10 is how I scored it. And then the money, I gave a 20 to you and a 10 to them. And then what really sets the two is the local preference number and by a point somewhere here. It's not much difference. And it's not, you guys have made a lot of progress in the last 3 years. I just think that this is how I scored.
So, I think just for the record, this probably doesn't matter, Ron would say, because we're coming down to 1 and 2, the cost was, or the price was a 40-point instead of a 20 point?
I know what.
But okay, but so you dropped everybody. About both, yeah. About both. Okay. I just wanted to clarify where you were on that.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So at first I did have 20 and 20 for both property management and accounting just because of meeting all the basic requirements, as you said, Paul. I took 1 point off, and points, I've said this three times, are always challenging for me on this because it's so subjective, for property management for Beck, because I don't think if I'm going to take points off for qualifications and experience and the hiring and the depth of the maintenance team and those types of things, that it's fair to then look back up at the first one and say that I don't have any concerns about that category. I think those two are tied together, but I can't drop it any lower than that. I mean, I think that Beck meets all of the basic criteria, and I think could do it. 5 point difference in qualifications and experience, and that, I think I said this a few years ago, I truly believe Beck is building a team here, and, you know, one and soon to be a second maintenance person versus 12 is a hard thing to, and I keep citing those numbers, but there was more depth in the conversation with both teams about the skill set and cross training and other things like that, and just assurance on our part because the cost savings with the maintenance team are so great. So that's one piece that's really stuck out to me. The price, I did 40 and 30. I think the price is fair. I understand your concerns. I may share them, but I got to judge it based on what someone's telling me they can do it for, and I didn't get to ask a question about benefits and things like that came up in the second. So I'm kind of astonished. Not astonished. I've said this on the record before. I mean, Talcourt is exceptional. They helped us turn this organization around, but I'm at a 97-95. On this with Beck in the lead. And that is just the information that is directly in front of me. I do share some of the concerns. I think the risk factor and the urban Tallahassee are the two things that I can't reflect on as much in my scoring as I may want to. So, I understand where the two of you are, and if it's 2-1, then I think we have our answers with writing down the points there. I think we've got to be really careful going forward that the justification for this, or for the difference in the contract, it may not be there in the future, even with the power of an incumbent, and we have to be careful on every RFP we do. And I'm not saying we're not careful today. We absolutely, I mean, this has been an in-depth, painful discussion because we got two good companies in front of us. But I do think the depth of maintenance in urban Tallahassee are going to give us some value added there and lower the risk. But I think we're bordering on seeing Talcourt parity with others now or in the future. So I think it's something we got to keep in mind. The risk factor will always be there with taking on someone who's unknown. That's, and I don't think we can penalize necessarily for that. So again, those are just a few comments on the record there, but the scores are as they are.
Okay. Let the record reflect there's 2 for Talcourt and 1 for Beck. And unless anybody has any further comments,
If you would just make a formal recommendation to the Board of Governors that will actually be presented to the Executive Committee on the 23rd for approval of your recommendation that we go with.
That requires action or just?
Yeah, just a motion and a second and a vote.
Yeah, that's right. That's you and me. Motion and second.
Yes, second.
Okay.
Paul, second.
Okay, yeah, I made the motion. Paul made the second.
Okay.
Based on the scores as well. All right.
All favor.
Last comment here.
Vote. Huh? There was a...
We kind of voted.
I guess
yeah,
if we had a motion, second, yeah, if we approve, I guess we're good. Okay.
So, if we can, Mr. Chair, on the record, before we go, bids are not easy. They cost a lot, and travel and everything else. So, as painful as it is to do these discussions in front of everyone, as puns, it also makes it fully transparent of where everybody's mind is. So, really appreciate all of you. Just wanted to say that.
Yeah, thank you.
Congrats.